Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and our guest, Marissa Russo, is in traffic, and she's trying to find a location where she can get out of traffic. It's Friday, and by golly, you know how it can be, depending on where you are. And she's in the Portland area trying to get into Seattle. So it's bumper to bumper, and we have got the most magnificent weather on the planet in the Pacific Northwest right now at this moment. So everybody and anybody's ready to get out of town. So we are going to just wait until she calls into the studio. She's an Australian forensic healer. This woman has a fascinating story to tell about how she developed her skills. So I'm looking forward to having her as a guest. And again, we're waiting for her to call in. In the meanwhile, what I wanted to do was start off the show with a statement by a man by the name of Stephen Dinan. And he wrote something that I thought was quite powerful in its statement. Stephen is the director of membership and marketing at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and he is very much in charge of its membership program. He's written a lot of books. He has created the Esalen's Institute Center for Theory and Research. It's a think tank for leading scholars, researchers, and teachers, exploring potentially new frontiers is what they're all about. So Stephen is a man whose mind is not in a box. And this is what he said. We are between eras, leaving a time in which the mind triumphed over nature, spinning a web of separation that led to nations, religions, and races each vying for supremacy, moving to a time in which our interconnection with each other becomes so real that we can no longer exclude anyone from our family. The clash of nations will give way to one planetary civilization. Schisms between religions will dissolve in one spirit. Our addiction to war will be eased by spreading peace. This emerging world will be built on a new understanding of what is sacred. Our families, our flesh, our pain, our dreams, and our fears, all will shimmer with divine grace. Wonderful, wonderful words. Well, my engineer has told me that we have Marissa Russo on the line. Marissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, you have experienced the traffic on the west coast of the United States firsthand, haven't you?
Yes, I have. And yes, we got here on time, so I'm sorry if it's late now, but yes, we have a good GPS, so we're here now.
Well, that is wonderful. I'm glad you got in safe and sound. Marissa, is this your first time in the United States?
It's my first time with forensic healing. However, I have visited the United States years ago when I was a Mormon. I did the Mormon Trail, but this time I'm here differently, at different intent, and as a forensic healer.
That is what I understand, and your associate, Donna Sherman, she's quite an interesting woman because she sent me the information about you, and I said, I need to know more about Marissa. And you don't have a book yet, so the term forensic always causes my ears to perk up a little bit because forensic medicine is the first thing that we think of, or forensic investigation. You've applied the term to healing.
That's correct.
Why?
Well, with all the years of healing, I discovered that when I find out the root cause, when I uncover the story of why someone has something, then it exposes it. And sometimes it's like the healing already begins. And then after I found the cause, I then apply a healing correction to release whatever it is. And it was in the forensics of the investigating process of someone's life and the cause of their condition that I found I had the most impact. So that's where it was forensic came from. My husband, I would tell my husband all the stories about the healings I would have. And then he just said to me, you're a forensic healer. He came up with it. And I said, mm-hmm. yeah, in fact, that's what it's about.
Marissa, usually when someone ends up in the healing environment, in that modality, whatever term we want to apply to it, it comes about because we've walked a road of experience that has made us aware of our talents. What has your past been like? What was it that led you into this environment?
Well, it was a tough path. It was a childhood full of abuse in many ways. It was manifested in chronic pain, serious chronic pain, and which pushed me to be more open-minded about finding a solution. Before that, I was a little bit conservative, and then I realized there was more reasons why I had the pain and the emotional stress. And I feel like I've had just a lot of things that I've had to work out. I work out why it was happening to me, and in that process, I would be determined to find the answer. I was told I would have to live with the pain that I had. And I didn't take no for an answer, and I'm always looking at life lessons and understanding why we have what we have. And I feel so confident, so happy that I can make sense of life itself and why things happen, that it frees me for when you... It's law of attraction as well. I apply that. But yes, my journey was tough, and I didn't want to live like that anymore.
Mm-hmm. When you found that you had an understanding of where your pain, your ailments were coming from, the mind-body connection is extremely powerful.
Yes.
How were you made aware of the fact that you had the capability to work with and process the healing factor in other people?
Well, it unfolded the more I learnt healing. I really learnt it to heal myself, and it unfolded in a few particular healings. One was an inner child healing where my stress and trauma was released from my body, and when I got off the table, I could feel energy. I mean, the healing was really intense, and I was moving, and I'd never moved before. And when I got off the table, my body would then physically move to people's thoughts. I could feel it in my body, other people's thoughts. And then when I would do healing, it would physically move my body. And so that was quite transformative, that healing at that moment. And then there have been others releasing perhaps past life sacrifice vows, which was, I find healers carry that one a lot. It's and anyone that's in a really giving profession, they tend to give more than they get back, and it's a life of suffering sometimes. And when I released that from my body, it freed me as if it freed me incredibly. I remember just as if I was looking over my shoulder saying, well, who was that girl? That's no longer me. So, yes, it was in all those processes. And now that I do healing and I still work on clients, I'm always astounded at what I find. And I've had a few in America that have been quite outstanding that I go, wow, that really confirms what I've been thinking. So it's experience and experience of healing myself that's created these gifts.
I recall reading some of your material where you said you spent well over $300,000 studying different modalities of healing.
Yes.
When you went through this, because this is always a very individual experience.
It is.
Which modalities affected your thinking the most?
I would say kinesiology, because kinesiology is a biofeedback modality, so you can ask a question and you get a confirmation of an answer, and that starts to hone in on getting the causes. However, I've realized that a lot of causes really begin, even like a car accident or even like cancer, the causes will come from relationships. It will come that's from emotion from the other person, and you have an emotion towards them. And if it's negative, that forms something in the body, and it can be cancer, as I mentioned, but it can also be outside influences. It can be, you attract negativity. You can attract car accidents. I get to a point now where when someone tells me what's going on, I can pretty much see this. There's this block in their life, and it's almost like they feel like they're being cursed. And so I find that that sort of correction, when I go hone in there, that makes the biggest impact in someone's life.
It's interesting you mentioned kinesiology.
Yes.
There are many, many skeptics regarding that, especially when they say, well, your mind can influence what you're doing. Kinesiology is not always going to be really good, especially if someone has a very, very strong mind.
Yes.
But when you were studying this, you're from Australia.
Yes.
So you have a cultural environment in Australia with the Aboriginal people.
Yes.
That I think is just incredible. These people have a history that, regrettably, we will not learn about a lot of it because of what has happened in the past. But in today's world, so much of what has been shared with select individuals that have been able to bring it out into what we call the Western world, it has been really quite significant because it dovetails with a lot of what is being talked about and really has been talked about in metaphysical circles for generations. Has this had any impact on you, being in that environment? Have you had the opportunity to interact with any of the Aboriginal environment?
I have with the environment. I went to Uluru, which is Ayers Rock, and I learned a valuable lesson there. And I went to the cultural center there, where I saw a huge pile of rocks and a sorry book, and the person at the desk there told me that daily and weekly they get letters from people that take the rocks, people that take the sand from Uluru, that beautiful big red rock in the middle of Australia, get cursed, and they send it back saying, I'm sorry that I didn't believe it, and please forgive me, and they send them all back. And I stood there reading all these letters and looking at all these rocks, and I thought to myself, this is similar to people. This is a sacred place. Uluru is a very sacred place. It's very spiritual, and that's why Oprah even went there. And crazily enough, I bumped into Oprah around. I'm part of the rock. It was just crazy. However, it's like people. We disrespect other people, especially, say, people that have a special message, some people that are here just to help us heal. And they're like they're more sacred. And if we disrespect them, then karma takes place. And hence why it awakened me even more that we are here to respect each other, respect ourselves, and that karma does take place, that there is something called law of attraction. I mean, I knew that, but I get a confirmation of it very clearly every time I work on someone or if I visit a place like that. As for the Aborigines, I did work with some of the Aborigines. They do something called pointing the bone to curse people, and I've had to take that off some people that have come in contact with them. And they follow signs from nature. They look at nature, they look at trees, they look at the sun, and they read all their signs where to take them next, or a sign of it, an answer, all in nature and everything around them.
I know that that's true. When I was reading the information on the mountain, I was intrigued with it because in Hawaii, you have a very parallel situation with Pele, the goddess of the volcanoes.
Okay.
And people having the same experience as taking rocks. They were advised by the Hawaiians not to remove anything from Pele's place.
Oh, really?
And so she's been seen many, many times, and people will send back letters and send back the rocks that they have taken or something that they have removed from the environment for the, with the very same thing. And I find that quite fascinating relative to two different places on this planet where there is a similar type of a patterning. Again, it's honoring what you have and understanding that there are these aspects of respect and appreciation that need to be respected and appreciated.
Exactly.
Now, with you, you have been in Los Angeles. You were at Michael Beckwith's church, Agape. When you were there, you were working in front of a very large audience. You were asked to demonstrate your healing. Now, we're not on television. We're on radio. Yes. Tell my listeners what it is that you do when you are performing, and there is a video on this, and you can give information on that, but what is it that you do when you're working as a healer? Do you use a table? Do you have them stand in front of you? Do you have them sit? What do you do?
Well, it's preferable that they're lying on the table, and my body works like, I call it like a human polygraph machine, as we've talked about kinesiology, is biofeedback. I can ask a question, and my body will physically move to give me the answer. So I get them on the table, and then I will open the healing with opening to higher sources. I like to call in and enlightened beings and ask that there's, you know, divine protection. I begin like that, and then I do something called profiling a person, as if you would profile a criminal, categorize them, so to speak, and I will find someone's negative life patterns that they've come through within this life to overcome, and their negative belief system, the emotion that runs it, and I call it ID age, which is identify age of when something significant occurred in their life that has really impacted them, and I'll find out what that age is, and that's the profile that I begin with, and then I'll start on a process of asking, well, which direction do I need to go to shift or heal whatever they've come to me for? And I have three pathways I can choose. I can choose something called energy, physics, emotion, or spiritual. And then I will usually end up start with the spiritual. That's usually where all the big stuff is. And then I will apply a healing correction. I'll test to see which correction is needed, and then I will apply the healing correction, and then I will close down, making sure the whole room is cleaned up energetically, and I will bless them, because I recognize that most people that come to me have been cursed or negativity, and what came to my head, why don't we just bless everyone? So every forensic healer that does the course or takes, you know, even the essentials courses that I have, which is 5 hours, they have this protocol, and anyone that gets on their table, they leave them with a blessing upon that person. So we are continually blessing people instead of the opposite.
When you're doing this healing, because there is the interaction, is there any laying on of the hands, or are you just directing energy by moving your hands or projecting the energy from yourself over the environment of that person that's on the table in front of you?
Yeah, good question, Donna. But it's a complex one. I do many things. There is intention. There are words of power. I've incorporated words of power from the Kabbalah, which is profound healing words in there. In the Kabbalah, there's the Tree of Life and the Tree of Death. And so the Tree of Death is all about, you can manipulate energies to cause harm on people. There are secret services out there that do this sort of thing. So I use words of power to close down all negativity and open up this Tree of Life energy. And I will find that an incredible amount of power comes through when I do this, perhaps on someone that's got cancer, because that's really a negative, dark energy. And then there's hands-on healing. There may be physical releasing. Sometimes I need to shake it out. There's NLP, so they may need to say an affirmation. There's a chakra, including chakra healing. There's probably a combination of about five things happening at once. And the intention, and I ask that I'm a conduit of energy to come through me, so that that there's that aspect of it as well. So it's sort of this combination which makes it quite intense and quite powerful in that moment.
It's been my observation, dependent on who you speak to, who is a healer,
yes,
the various modalities that you've described, that they will, yes, incorporate.
Yes.
And you have gone through a lot of shifts as an individual,
yes,
where you have sort of disengaged from certain belief systems that were a part,
yes,
of your life that were very significant.
Yeah.
And this I'm aware of when you're speaking. And so you have literally created your own particular environment. And I know that you would change and shift in whatever would be appropriate as you become even stronger as you get older. Because I believe as people get older, if they take good care of themselves, their healing capacities become significantly stronger. So when you are doing this and you're demonstrating this to others and people have such wonderful positive effects as they've had in working and being with you, when they say, oh, I want to do just what you do,
mm-hmm,
when you're teaching your classes,
mm-hmm,
is there a way that you are able to tell people that what you're teaching them is what you know and that they may go on and expand into something that's greater than that? Or that maybe it may not work for them and they're going to have to find their own modality?
There are people that say they want to do what I do and get the results that I get. And I say it is possible. It's about your belief system as the healer. It's about you healing yourself and making sure that you're a clear conduit. If I have fear when I'm healing someone, then that's not going to be a great healing. It's a different energy. So it's about an evolution of the healer, and it's about trusting. And I really think it's half the healing modality and half the healer together makes the profound changes. And I have seen many emails and responses from the current forensic healers that are out there now getting incredible results, and it excites me incredibly to
mm-hmm,
see that this system is not just me. This system is powerful in many people's hands, and I'm one for simple. I'm one for, I don't like complex. I've tried complex. It doesn't work. I'm very simple, but I will also say, I will also talk to the healer, the practitioner, and say, this is part of your attraction. I'll tell them to use law of attraction by saying, only ask the clients that you can help. I'm always saying that because, Donna, as you know, there are some people not ready or it's not going to work for. So
mm-hmm,
I very much will say, you set your intention that every person you work on is one that you can help. And so incorporating these methods and this type of intention is pretty powerful.
As you are looking at the present, you're traveling through the United States on the West Coast primarily. When you're looking at what your work is and what you're doing, I know you're going to be coming out with a book eventually, and you have to send me a copy when you do.
Of course.
But what I want to say or ask you is, where do you see yourself, or are you in a position to be able to answer that even, since you are doing this work and you are teaching, where do you want to take this? What do you see as your positioning, and what manner or do you feel yourself you're going to be serving in the future?
That's an interesting question, and you're the first person that's really asked me. That's a good question. I do have a future that I see. I see, I like to do group healings. I like every workshop I go to, whether it's free or a paid workshop, I connect everybody energetically. And then I have a surrogate on the table, which is someone up the front, and I ask them for permission that we connect, and then I will heal this person on the table and connect that healing goes through to everyone out sitting down. So it's about my purpose is to free people from being stuck, being down, being in pain, and also to create a modality that healers can take out to the world and heal people from this past. I feel like there's a lot of heaviness that people bring through in the world, that they're stuck, and to free people. And when people are free of pain, when they're free of negativity and they can have an abundant life, then they're living in their full potential. So basically to elevate consciousness, to elevate the energies, which is what's happening on the planet, and to be a conduit and a channel for that to happen.
I think that your words are very true, and I think anyone, whether they're a counselor, a healer, a teacher, whatever positioning they're in, when there is that kind of purpose behind it and intention, it is going to have its place. It is going to find the fulfillment that it needs to have. When you go back to Australia, what's happening there? Are you building a foundation? Are you building an organization where you're going to be able to, let's say, work with larger groups of people?
Yes, there's already forensic healers in Australia. They currently completed the full course in forensic healing. Some people do home study, and then we've also had a lot. We do live training as well. So they've already begun, and they're healing, and that's already begun in Australia. And there's sort of an energy around it and an excitement about it. Yeah, so, and that's begun, so now America is where we're now focused. I feel like I'm meant to be here. I feel accepted here, and I feel at home here, and I'm continually awestruck by the openness and programs like yours, because in Australia we have no radio programs that offer consciousness or healing, and there's no TV programs. I've never been on any media in Australia, and I come to America, and it's everywhere, and I'm asked to appear and to talk. People want to know what my story is or what healing I have, and they accept it openly, and so I feel like this is where I should be, because I feel that their reception is so good, and people are ready to heal. There's been some amazing healing that's been happening on all this tour. And I will share, if you don't mind, one healing that's very interesting that might enlighten some people. Do I have a moment?
Oh, absolutely.
To share?
Yes, we have a couple of minutes here.
Okay, well, there was a lady, and this is, I'll say, my workshop. She had chronic pain, and she had been in the hospital the night before. She had such chronic pain, and the pain had been there for a year. Came to see me, had also tried healing. She's on the table, and I tried to remove her pain. She said it was 10 out of 10 pain. It went to 11 out of 10 pain. So that wasn't looking very good. And then she said she had no resentment towards people when she started. But as I started to dig, I found out she had 10 out of 10 resentment to four people. And I said, see how this resentment's matching your pain? And I said to her, you need to now start forgiving these people. You need to forgive these people in your mind. You need to be able to ask them for, you know, forgiveness and let them go. And she did that to the four people. And then, in that moment, her pain completely went. And I wasn't even healing her. And then I said to her, remember this moment, because this is your motivation, because I knew the pain would come back, to now go and to now forgive. She was like in her 60s, so she's held on it. I think she's held on it for some time. And I thought, that's quite astounding, how a perfect example of how our emotions, and when we hang on to resentment, mm-hmm. holds in pain and negativity in our life.
Oh, it really, really does. And I'm glad you shared the story. Now, Marissa, you are in the United States. You are going to be doing an appearance in Seattle. Is there a website where people can go and find out more about you, your classes, if you have material that they can subscribe to? If you could give that, please, your website.
Sure. Thank you, Donna. Yes, it's at going to marissarusso.com, which is marissarusso.com. And they can go into the events page and look at all the events and just sign up there. We also have a 1-800 number, which is 1-800-896-9136 and 1-800-896-9136. So it's great for anyone that's in pain or stress or like to get a little shift in consciousness and to feel a little lighter. So that's there for the free workshop, see how forensic healing works. And then there's an afternoon of essentials workshop, which is, we've reduced it to 97, so people can get a little taste of it, see if they like healing, see if this suits them.
Wonderful. Marissa Russo, her website, marissarusso.com, marissarusso.com. Marissa, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest. I wish you the best of success while you're here in the Seattle area, and I know that many of my listeners will probably be checking out your website. Thank you so much, and the best of luck in your travels.
Thank you, Donna, and blessings to you and your listeners. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they?
Okay, is she still on or did she hang up? I think she probably hung up. I thought I heard a click.
In our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, this is Donna. Welcome back. I did want to share something with you after having Maurice on the line. I don't care what culture you come from. We always are hearing about stories. They're called miracles sometimes, but stories of healing that occur. And I wanted to share with you today something that happened to me. I was in the hospital. I was in my 20s at the time. I'd gone through major surgery, and I had been in a very life-threatening situation. Well, being young, it was easy. My recuperation was pretty fast, and I was expecting to leave the hospital. Well, I was told by a nurse they weren't going to let me out of the hospital because I had developed pneumonia. My mentor's mother, her name was Mama Nash. Mama Nash was a healer. She was known by a lot of people. She was a woman who was quite elderly at the time that I met her, although you would never know it because she had more energy than the Energizer Bunny. And she was just an incredible lady, a little short, heavy-set gal, her hair pulled back in a bun, silver-gray hair, brownish tortoiseshell glasses, just totally nondescript type of person. And when she walked, she sort of did a waddle walk when she walked. This woman was amazing. People around the world would ask her for healing. Well, because she was the mother of the woman that was my mentor, Gloria, when they found out I was in the hospital, she came in to see me. As it turned out, the day she came in to see me was the day that I had been given the notice that I had pneumonia and they weren't going to let me out. They put me on a breathing machine that they had at the time, and as far as I knew, there was nothing wrong with me. I didn't discern anything that was out of order, but I did have pneumonia. So she proceeded to put her hands on my chest and started to do her healing work. Now, what was so amazing to me is that, number one, I could feel the heat that was coming from her hands, and as it went into my body, I knew that something was going on. But it wasn't any great, big, phenomenal experience. It was just very subtle. It was very gentle. And she patted me. She said, "You'll be out of this hospital." She said, "You'll be going home tomorrow." I said, "Oh, good." I was just happy as a clam. Within 1 hour, I broke out into intense perspiration. My whole body was filled with an energy that was just incredible. The nurse came back the evening that this had occurred. She did testing. She said, "You're fine now." I said, "Thanks, I'm ready to go home." I went home the next day, just like Mama Nash had said. She did something, I don't know what it was, and I can't explain it. But it is something that I went through. I also had a time when I had just started into my psychic work and was doing readings for people. And I had had a very large group. It was like close to 50 people. And I had done a small reading for every single person in that group. This was when I was working as an assistant minister at a spiritualist church. So afterwards, I was feeling very, very strange. I felt like I had a great big hole in the middle of my body. There were two healers, Edith and Jack. They were there, very mature people. They were in their 60s, 70s, and they had been healers for a long, long time. And of course, I was quite young, and they came up to me and they said, "Donna, you're looking strangely. Is anything wrong?" Because they were aware. They'd been through the whole event that I was working in. And I said, "Yes, I feel so strangely. I feel like I've got this huge hole inside of me." Well, Edith made me sit down, and she said, "What has happened is that you have put out so much energy. You have literally depleted yourself. So let us give you some energy, and that'll be fine." We sat down. They put their hands on my shoulder and on the middle of my back. It took less than 30 seconds, and I said, "That's enough." The whole feeling of emptiness was gone. These are just two small experiences that I've been through. Healing is a fascinating phenomenon because we're dealing with energy. Everything has a vibratory frequency. So when you are listening to someone like Marissa Russo talk, or anyone else, these are people that are trying to express to you how they are able to work. And I liked her word, conduit, because that's what she is. That energy is available to you. Healing can occur in so many different ways. There are so many different modalities of expression. And one modality may not work necessarily for a person where another might. There's so much involved here. Historically, we've got records about people that did phenomenal jobs of healing, and some of them were actually trained physicians. Other are people of nondescript personality, like Arrigo, the Brazilian healer. He was documented by scientists. He was just absolutely incredible. They still have the films on him because they could not believe what he was able to do in a little building where literally hundreds of people would line up every day. He would deal with over 200 people in a day. Phenomenal story. If you ever want to read about it, it's something worth reading. But this is something we need to have an open mind about. Another great healer that I've known a great deal about is Olga Worrell. Olga Worrell is a woman. She passed away, I believe, in the 70s. Very gifted healer, as was her husband, who was an engineer. And for years in their home, they worked and healed many, many individuals. They, just like Mama Nash that I mentioned at the beginning and many others, often would do absent healing. So often it's easy to criticize what we don't understand. But when it works, we're very grateful. And I think it's important to keep an open mind. First thing, often people will say, ah, they're a bunch of quacks. I don't agree. I think healing can occur in many different ways. And as Marissa said, it can be emotional, like the woman she mentioned, that was carrying a resentment for a long time. Your body often is a reflection of who you are and what you're going through. And at some point, we must take a positioning of personal responsibility, understanding and accepting that where we are is where we are for a purpose of our growing and expanding as people. So if you're finding that you're experiencing some physical difficulties of any kind, I would like for you to be aware that there are options for you to work with. There are areas that you can explore, whether it's visualization, read, go to your library, go to a secondhand bookstore, be open. If someone is giving classes, just go and see how you're affected by it. What is it that you can learn that can empower you as a person? I find the older I get, the more I realize there are so many different ways of doing things. It's sort of like cooking chicken. I don't think we'll ever run out of recipes for a chicken. And remember, that's just one bird. Why? Because that's the nature of life. And if you don't believe me, study nature herself. A very wise man by the name of Reverend Humble used to say to people, if you will study nature, you will find that you will have a harmony with yourself and your intuitive processes will work beautifully. This is Donna Seaball. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. The telephone lines are open. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Seaball. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Seaball's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Seaball's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Seaball and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Seaball is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Seaball. I was just reviewing some stuff, some interesting stories about people and what they go through, but I'm going to save that for another time. What I wanted to do was to share with you this delightful, delightful poem. It's very short. It's Wild Flowers and Blossoming Trees of a Honeycomb Sky, a Scented Breeze. Springtime, you're amazing. Well, before you know it, it's summertime, and by golly, we're ready for it here where I am. We've gotten so weary of the rain. And guess what? We've been told that is in the forecast pretty soon. But hey, forget the rain. You know, it is something that we are going to probably want to do some traveling, get out to different places, have the opportunity to explore and have an adventure or two. And I think that that is so important. I really feel that sometimes instead of trying to make traveling or vacation time complicated, maybe we ought to pick an environment that's close to home, look at all kinds of opportunities, wherever you are in the country or in the world, and sort of close your eyes, make up little cards and say, okay, where do I want to go this weekend? And close your eyes and reach in and just pull out something at random. Quite often in our own neighborhoods, we have, so to speak, some opportunities to explore. And there are many times gardens. There are so many places that we can go to that don't have to cost a whole bunch of money. When you are traveling, though, you need to be aware that your budget is important. But again, there are things that you can do that are really a lot of fun. And sometimes I think, especially with the economy being what it is, and so many people have such a minimal amount of money, it's like, what can you do that maybe won't cost you anything? And by the way, if you have some suggestions for summer activities or travel, I'd love to hear from you. So be sure to send me an email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Now, I want to share just a couple of tips for traveling because it is the time of year. There are so many places in the country and the world that this is just optimum. I know up in Alaska, people are really enjoying what they're experiencing there. The springtime in Alaska has just been incredible. But we have to be aware. We really have to pay attention when we're using our credit cards. And we have to stay focused. It's very easy to get distracted. It's a good idea to make sure that you have a credit card that you're just going to use for your expenses. Don't carry more than 2 credit cards with you. Also, be aware that in many areas, there are electronic bandits. So you want to find from your lending institution, whichever one you may be utilizing, what the recommendations are for security. And if you really want to find out the real nitty-gritty, find out who is you can talk to in the fraud department, and they will put you on top of whatever you need to know. Now, a credit card scam can occur when you're making a purchase from a shop. They'll take your card to the back of a shop, and they're cloning your card on a device that captures your number so they can be copied to a counterfeit card complete with your security holograms. This really has to be a nightmare for the security industry. Also, you find it may even happen right in front of you, underneath a shop desk or any number of places you can't see. And sometimes, if someone is an accomplice in this kind of robbery or theft, there will be a distraction where you're not really noticing what's going on. Also, they say another con may take place right in your hotel room. A scammer will call and claim he or she is from the front desk and needs additional information in regard to your bill. You'll be asked for details, such as the numbers of the credit card in question. Don't let the credit card out of your sight, even when you're paying a shopkeeper. If you can keep your card, you can see what's happening to it. If you're called with a late-night card scam, tell the caller you'll bring your card to the front desk in the morning. It is really something in today's world with all of the technology, we do have to pay attention. And if you're going to an environment where you're going to be taking a taxi, if you're taking the airport taxi in the town, you need to really pay attention. Now, I have to say, when I'm in New York, the stories about taxis taking you all over the place and having an exorbitant fee for a very short actual distance, I've heard these stories over and over again. But in my experience, I just take a shuttle. Now, at the airports, often you'll find people having signs posted, do not accept a ride from anything but the authorized people that are in the airport. And I had someone say to me once that they had decided they were going to take in a shuttle, that someone had walked around and said, oh, well, I can take you. You don't have to wait for these people. I can take you. And it ended up being an adventure they really didn't find very pleasurable. So it is a good idea to be aware of the shuttle services at the airport that are reputable, that will get you to where you want to go. Also, with the taxis, if your driver tells you that your hotel or restaurant has been closed or damaged and wants to drive you to another site, what they have found in research is that a lot of drivers and hotels work in cahoots, and the driver will escort you to the hotel of their choice, which may be a lot less than what you had wanted to settle for. And you might even get fleeced for a couple of tours and unnecessary meal plans while you're involved with them. So be sure that you arrive at the knowledge of the distance between the airport and your hotel. Travel only with licensed taxis. Agree on a fee before starting out. And don't pay until you get to where you want to be. Also, confirm your destination in advance. Make sure you check the name and address of the place before you are taken and shuffled off to it. You can go to travel.state.gov. This is a website you can check out. It will give you the location of the U.S. Embassy and any consular offices if you might need them, whether you will need a visa. You can ask them all kinds of questions. You'll get information on crime and security, health and medical conditions, and also popular spots that are recommended that are really good to go to. So, again, check out the website www.travel.state.gov, and you will find there is a lot of resource information available to you right at your fingertips. Isn't it marvelous to have the internet? I just think it's absolutely incredible what we are able to do today. By the way, a little bit on health. Certain foods, walnuts, they're the best nut. If you want to have anything, have walnuts. Why? Because they got twice the antioxidants of other common nuts, and usually you're going to eat them raw, which you're going to get the antioxidants at their maximum effectiveness. They help lower cholesterol and help prevent damaging inflammation. And if you're hungry, they are really a godsend. Potassium, getting plenty of this particular mineral, it can cut your risk of a stroke by more than 20%. Where do you get it from? Well, bananas typically are noted for it, but sweet potatoes, tomato paste are the most concentrated sources of potassium. Again, bananas are great, and low-fat dairy foods are good too. There's just something else I'd like to throw in too. Make sure you get your sleep. I don't know about you, but when I'm sleep deprived, things don't work all that well mentally. My energy will be low. It's just amazing. So it's really important to take care of your health, and it's important for you to realize that your body may or may not need as much sleep or as little sleep as other people, but it's up to you. You are the person that determines that. Oh, and one other thing. Guys, be thoughtful about where you put your cell phone. They find that men who routinely hook their phones onto their belts for at least a year had thinner thigh bones. Now think about this. And this is from the energy that's put off by cell phones. Also, it can, if you carry it in the front where it is near your pelvic area, what that's going to do, that is going to perhaps affect the prostate. And when you put it on the back, it affects the kidneys. What they need to come up with is a nice item that keeps those energies from going into the body. Women should never have a cell phone in their pocket, over their heart, over their breasts. They should not do that. They should need to be aware. Put it in their purse, put it in something that is not going to cause those rays to enter the body. This is something that they're going to learn about more in the coming years, and eventually we won't have to be as concerned because there will be some kind of protective insulation. But right now, it isn't there. So be aware, be alert. I love cell phones, but you have to be thoughtful about where you carry them and how much you use them. If you've got them all the time on and you're just listening or talking for hours upon hours upon hours, there are very negative side effects, and that's because of the radiation and the energy frequencies that come out of the cell phones. Again, one day they're going to be able to design them so we don't have to have that concern, but at this time, they are something that you need to be aware of. Donna Sebo here. I know that we're just about out of time, but I wanted to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up this next week. We're going to be talking about the plan on Monday. John McGee is my guest, and we're going to be discussing how you can have a plan for your life and get the results that you want. And then we're going to be talking about cherished animals. I always like to have these interviews regarding animals. Barbara Abercrombie is going to be my guest on Tuesday. We're going to be talking about our furry friends and others and their special stories and effects on people's lives. Then on Wednesday, Losing Control, Finding Serenity, Daniel Miller is going to be giving some wonderful insights there. And then The Good Among the Great, Donald Vandermart is talking about people that have accomplished phenomenal things, and they're good people. They're not the extremists on the negative end. Wonderful. And then cyberbullying. This is something that has really become a big issue in the news. We're going to be talking with Joe. His book is called Yubby. Yubby is about his life and what he did to overcome the bullying. And then we've got so much more for the rest of the month, but hey, we'll tell you more about that later. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent weekend. Be safe, be happy, be sassy, live life to the hilt, because this is the best one you've got right here, right now. Talk to you on Monday. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.